3, starting with verse 14. For you who are new, I'm going verse by verse through the New Testament, and we have gone through verse 16 and the whole thing of 16, and we're up into 17. And I'm going to read the white, and you're going to read the... Okay, here we go. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You know, what a great set of scripture that just, it knocks me out. And we're gonna even be moving on to our next piece. But when Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, and we've talked about this last week, the first step of the five steps to get this spiritual ignition going, and I want you to know that is the clutch brake and an accelerator pedal of a 1957 Corvette. All right, the one I talked about that I had when I was in high school. I looked and I looked till I found it, okay? And what we're talking about here is there's five steps that Paul gives us in his prayer to get your spiritual ignition on. And that engine, that spiritual engine that he's given you to move forward so you can pop the clutch and feel that G-force of God in your life, the Holy Spirit working in your life. And if you remember, the first piece was to be strengthened by the power, with power by the Spirit in the inner man. And you remember that's a passive command that Paul is telling us to do something we can't do. We have to do something else for that to happen because it is the Spirit strengthens us. And we went through Ephesians 5. We went through Colossians 3. And I hope you've read that. And so we're to be strengthened with power by His Spirit in the inner man. Now that gets us off lock into accessory. All right? To start there. Then the second is Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith. And in order to that, and you remember those are purpose statements, in order that once you're strengthened with his might, you're going to find that Christ will dwell in your heart. And when you realize that Christ is dwelling in your heart by faith, because as Emma was talking about, we've kind of cleaned the junk out of our heart. And Christ has thrown it all out so he could sit down on the couch or the chair and chit-chat with you without all the mess. All right, and so I even translated this, that Christ may settle down and be totally at home in your hearts by faith. That's what the word dwell means. The Lord gets to work on you and cleans your heart, and sometimes it's painful, isn't it? Sometimes it's real painful. But what it means, and if you have the vision to see what that means, the outcome is victory over sin and living a pure life. And when all that's erased, then you have that sense of pure life. And like I say, God can sit down in that overstuffed chair right across from you, and you could sit down in your overstuffed chair, and you could have a life without negative consequences and real good talks with Christ if you're willing to go there. Now, do you see the pattern that's starting to happen here? Now, there's the process, and let's look at that next one. The inner man is strengthened. Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, and then we're rooted and grounded in love. Now, I want to talk about that. Point number three is that once Christ has settled down and become home in your heart, we have this purpose statement again, in order that, or for the purpose that, and let's read this, okay, that you being rooted and grounded in love. What is the width and length and depth and height? you know, when I read that, and I knew that was coming up from verse 1:1, I knew that we were going to be hitting this place, and listen to this, you guys. And you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. This is Paul's prayer. What is the width and length and depth and height? Four dimensions of love, not three. We're used to three, aren't we? We get 3D glasses. Well, we want 4D glasses. I don't know what that's going to look like. But it's to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Now, I want to camp on this for a little minute. I want to tell you a story that maybe helped. You know, last week, after Sunday church was over, we stayed, Debbie and I, because we had some things to do, and Amanda and James Reinhardt were going to have a baby shower. Now, you remember Amanda, she worked in the coffee bar out there every Sunday morning, if you don't remember, and James played the drums for a long time here. And so last Sunday afternoon, as Amanda opened her presents during her baby shower, as I sat and watched that, all of a sudden, it sprang back to me. And I remember when Debbie and I, and don't tell Debbie I said this, but almost 40 years ago, okay, was 30 years for her and 40 for me, okay. And I remember when Debbie had this shower, and in those days you couldn't even go if you were a guy, right? You're barred from, thank God, that was a great, okay. And I remember Debbie coming home, and she said, can you help me with getting the stuff out of the car? And the car was jam-packed with stuff. Well, it's because we were dirt poor, and people felt sorry for us. I mean, we got married, and we spent our honeymoon money on a bed so that we could have it, because I didn't even have a job yet. I just got to Colorado. And so we were preparing for my first son, Stevie, to be born. And so we got this crib, and we got a changing table, and we got diapers and baby clothes. And I started wrenching the crib together. And then all of a sudden, I had this reality rush. We're going to have a baby. You know, well, of course we are. But all of a sudden, I was committed. It was a point of no return. You know what I mean? It's almost kind of, guys, now you know what I'm saying, before your first baby, if you've had one, it's almost like you think you can kind of turn around and not have to do it. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? I was committed, and the baby, you know, you have to understand, and I don't know if the wives ever get this. Wives, or ladies, if you don't have a baby yet, listen to me. And if you do, you can apologize to your husband, okay? But men just don't get it till it comes out, right? We really act like it. We try to pretend like, man, we're so excited. You know, we're having a baby. And we can be. But we don't feel it. It's not in our tummy moving around. It isn't making us sick. Thank God. Okay? It isn't doing all those things. And so it's a theory to us. It's almost like a theory, and we're excited and all that kind of thing. But up to that point, when I was wrenching that crib together, it was all theory. And it became a reality. And I could, you know, as I, and even with feeling the kicks and movements, and it was kind of neat. Well, sometimes my stomach does that when I've eaten the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, no. And I'd watch Debbie's stomach, especially after that, just before she had the baby, because it'd get kind of oblong. And you remember, ladies, don't you? Poke. In fact, I remember when Jamie, my second one, and you'll totally get this if you know Jamie, I'd push on her stomach and she'd kick back. And I'd put over here and she'd kick back there. You know, and but anyhow, I watched this stomach, and I felt it kicking and all that kind of thing. And it was really intellectually pretty neat that we are going to have a baby. But the crib, Superman sleepers. Man, now that was confirmed. And it's kind of like our Christian life. We know we're Christian. We have the experience, the movements of being a Christian. we kind of get to the stomach stretch and bumps and that kind of thing as a Christian, and we feel the suffering. We feel that sense of labor pains that the Bible talks about. We even begin to birth the truths of what Christ's telling us through the Apostle Paul as we read Ephesians. Then comes the crowning, right? And I thought, okay, that'll happen real quick. Oh, no. 24 hours later, you know. And yet, it's just like us as Christians. We all of a sudden begin to see real in the scriptures. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? All of a sudden, the scripture gets so real, and you begin to feel that sense of God's love. And, you know, Debbie went through the labor pains, and she pushed and pushed and pushed. And when that crowning happened, my pulse went up. I remember my pulse went up, and I even got kind of lightheaded because you're in all this gear, you know. But the moment Stevie slid into the hands of the doctor, you know what I'm talking about, guys, you know, slid into the hand of the doctors, and he placed him on Debbie's stomach and cut the cord and tied it up and then immediately handed Stevie to me. I cannot describe that love. Can you? Man, all of a sudden you have this baby, and you even think it's kind of the hospitals for a little bit, you know, till you take it home. I'm looking at that kid, and I'm thinking, wow, I never imagined that I could love something, bingo, just like that. And as I looked at him, I thought about Adam and Eve and how God created Eve out of Adam. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And that very verse came to me as I looked at that little guy in my hands who could absolutely do nothing for himself. Well, almost nothing. And the love for my son was incomprehensible. And you know what? He's 37, and it still is. Are you hearing me tonight? Listen, here's a third point. Christ's incomprehensible love, his unfathomable love, these all mean the same. The inconceivable love, the beyond your understanding love. When you were birthed in Christ, Christ picked you up, so to speak, and thought, man, I didn't know I could love like that. And it's that same incomprehensible love we have for our own children. No matter who you are or what they do, it doesn't matter, does it? You always love your children. And I think that's why God did that. He wanted us to experience being a parent. He wanted us to experience what real love is the moment that baby comes out. And then that love begins to permeate. Do you ever remember on the first day of birth, you who have had a baby, that you really didn't love much that day? No, man, we are totally overwhelmed. And Christ's love permeates and dominates your life and my life if we let it. And it leaks. It leaks. It leaks all over the place, and people can see it and they can feel it. And they're going to want it. And that's what verse 17 says. And you, being rooted. And really, what the original language is saying, and you, having been rooted, it's already happened, it's done. You've already been rooted and grounded. You've already been grounded in Christ. And when we stop to look at rooted or having been rooted, it means strengthened. Oh, that's right. The Bible just said that. Strengthened in our inner man. And rooted means to have been grounded in Christ. Oh, Christ dwelling. We just had that in the scripture. He's repeating himself here. And you being rooted and grounded in love. And I look at those terms and both reference the idea of being solidly established in love as a way of life. Now, what happens when Christ dominates your life? He becomes your loving parent that radiates love through your life. And you know, just like kids, we don't get it. You know, our parents loved on us. We loved on our kids. If you have kids yet, if you've had kids, and do the kids get it? No, they don't get it till they have their kids. And then they come back and go, "Dad, you're not going to believe this." And I just tell them, "Oh, yes, I am." You know, I remember the first time that I changed Stevie's diaper. It was so cute. He was naked as a jaybird, and he's laying there and looking up at me. And I don't know if he can really see me, you know, how their eyes wander and that kind of thing. But I knew that he knew the sound of my voice because I'd always talked to my wife's stomach, hoping that maybe he would get something. And all of a sudden, he pees. And he pees all over me. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's by sprinkling. Yeah. And, you know, here's the thing. You think that bothered me? No, man, he was too cute. And Debbie and I laughed and laughed and laughed, and she really laughed because it didn't happen to her. But we laughed. But, man, did I love that kid, and do I still love that kid? Jesus loves us so incredibly strong that when we need our diapers changed, and we do, don't we? As a Christian, when we need those diapers changed, he doesn't get mad. I don't know where we bought into this idea that Jesus hates us or Jesus is always mad up in heaven, ready to condemn you. And that is not what my Bible says. That's not what the Gideon Bible says. I don't know what Bible they're reading. He just clears up the mess, and he holds us, and he loves us, and he chit-chats with us, and it's hard for us to take, isn't it? And you know, people will say to me, "Well, I wished I loved more. Well, I wish I had more of a love for the Lord. I wish I loved the people at church a little more than I do. I wish I loved the lost more." Listen, hear me on this. You can't generate it. Have you ever noticed that? You try to pump up and love. How's it working for you? It just doesn't. Love is a byproduct. It's a result of God dwelling in your heart by faith and being strengthened in the inner man. Not your product. Not your product to produce. It's the fact that Christ dwells in you. And only he can do that. And his love permeates our heart. And if we open our heart to it instead of keeping it closed because we're embarrassed or we're whatever, if we just open up that heart, you're going to be so filled with love, you're not going to know what to do. It's right there, folks. And your inner man will be strengthened, and the Holy Spirit will fill you with the fruits of the Spirit. He will purify you, and then he will let Christ dwell in your hearts by faith. And for you who weren't here before, we're not saying that Christ doesn't dwell in the Christian until they're filled with the Spirit. We're saying Christ dwells in us from the moment of belief. Amen? But what Paul's saying is let Christ dwell in your heart by faith because you've been strengthened in the inner man and he's cleared out the rubbish so you can really have a relationship. You have a relationship with him anyhow, but you can really have a relationship with him. And so I stand here before you and say this, how can I not love Christ? How can you not love Christ? For by grace you are saved through faith. that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He loved us that much, a love that surpasses knowledge. So I want you to back up and answer something for yourself. Have you been strengthened by God in your inner man, your inner person? Have you allowed God to do that? Is Christ at home in your heart by faith? And now, do you get a glimpse, or maybe you know this well, do you comprehend how much he truly loves you? Verse 18 says that you may be able to comprehend. That's your prayer this week, folks, that you may be able to comprehend. So I want to look at the parent love when Paul is talking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit out of Romans 8. And I purposely blank this out because I don't want you to even look at your Bible. One of the very few times I'll say that, okay? And I want to just read this to you, and you just listen. I want you to lay back and take a deep breath and relax for a second and listen to this. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is it God that justifies? Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And then Paul says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And when you give your life to Christ, you're there. And then he says this, yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded. Now listen, Paul hasn't said enough yet. I think he said enough, don't you? But he goes on, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now let me think. Did he miss anything? Could we fill something in so we can kind of get a loophole so he doesn't love us anymore? I didn't read any loophole. Paul covered it all. He covered it twice in different ways so we get it. Listen, isn't that how you feel about your kids if you have kids? That's how he feels about you. Father, we come tonight. Lord, it is impossible for us to describe your love for us. We can only see it, we can feel it, we can hear it. Lord, you gave us the honor of being able to have children so we can experience what it means to be a father or a mother, which you are both, really. We can be a parent. And we can have kids. And Lord, they can pee on us and poop on us. They can mess up life. They can dirty up their clothes. They play in the mud. They grow up and they do stupid things just like we did. And say stupid things and think stupid things. Lord, they're so unwise at times and we think, what happened? And Lord, and then they grow up And most of them get a bit of wisdom, and they get a bit of God, and they get a bit of your son, Jesus Christ, at least in our camp. And we look at that, Lord, and you know what, Lord? We just have to confess tonight, we love them, whether they're in Christ or out. Whether they're on the streets as a beggar or whether they're in the pulpit, it doesn't matter. We love them. And if our kids were strayed and they come back to us, God, and they opened up their heart and said, will you forgive me? Will you love me again? It wouldn't take 1 second of thought. We'd throw our arms around them and love them just like the prodigal. And Lord, that's how much you love us. And you've demonstrated that love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we saw him go through all that pain and die and rise again just for us. And so, Lord, we give you the honor and praise for that. We give you the glory that you would love us so. And, Lord, I pray this week that in each of our lives you will demonstrate your love towards us that will blow us away. Will you do that, Lord? Will you do that in our life today so we can come back next week and talk about it?